Right, thank you very much. Well, good evening, everyone. We're going to talk about daring to be different this evening. Daring to be different. And when you go round at school, or if you go to college, perhaps, or you will see there's all sorts of different people. And all sorts of different people have different styles and different things that they want to do. But the challenge we're looking at here today is to be daring to be different. And the challenge that we're putting to you, the dare that we're putting you to you, is that you dare to accept the Word of God. Does anybody know what the Word of God is? What's the Word of God? When we say the Word of God, what do we generally mean? Yeah?
Holy Bible.
The Holy Bible. Yeah, your Bible. This book. It's it might have got a black one, you might have a purple one, or different coloured ones, but it's the Word of God. This is God's speaking to us. And what we're saying tonight is that that Word challenges you. It dares you to be something, to be different. And that's what we want to think about this evening. Daring to be different. Now, that's a bit different, isn't it? It's not like your hairdo, is it? It's not like your haircut. You haven't got one like that. But some people actually have haircuts and hairstyles like that. Mine looks like the top one on the right sometimes in the morning. But some people want to be different by the hairstyle that they wear. And as you get a bit older, you might think about having your hair in a different way, or putting makeup on, and all sorts of things like that, that a lot of people do, and the girls are nearly as bad as the boys with this. It's something that we think about, that people want to be different in that sort of way. They want to have a funny haircut or something that makes them stand out, to be different. Or when we think about other ways in which we might want to be different. Now, you might want to be different like that, but you might not. Wearing different sorts of clothes, strange sorts of styles of clothing. And as you get older, sometimes you find that your friends at school might be wearing, well, not at school, because hopefully they all wear school uniform, do they? No. Do they wear school uniform at your school? Yeah. When you get a bit older, you'll wear school uniform. But sometimes when they're not at school, they will wear all sorts of weird and wonderful clothing. Again, the boys might wear something really smart like that, and you know, you look really dapper. And a lot of people spend a lot of time with clothes. You might not think about it when you're your age, but they do. When you get older, especially when girls come along, your clothes tend to be a bit more important. You want to look a bit suave and sophisticated. I've never really got that, but never mind. Or you might want to look like that, girls. Hopefully not, but you might want to. Okay? Be a goth or something, all right? Now, that's being different, isn't it? People sometimes wear these sort of clothes to make a statement about themselves. And that's what it's about, isn't it? Very often, when we're at school or when we've got our friends, they want to do something that's a bit different. And sometimes it's not just what they wear, it's the things that they do. They want to do silly things. They want to do dangerous things or daft things. And they just want to do that just so they can be a bit different. All these are statements about the individual, about you, how you want to be different. How you look with your hairstyle or the way that you behave to make an impression on either your friends or even your people, your parents or other people. These are the sorts of things that people do. It's very conscious about image. When I say image, it's the way that you present yourself completely. And it's very, very important to a lot of people how they actually look and what they look like on the outside. How others think about what you're like. How to be cool or bad, okay? That's the one of the in phrases. Well, it was a few years ago. It's probably changed since then. It's probably sick or something like that. It's how to get an impression of what people think. Make people think that you're good in some way by the way that you look. But it gives you street cred, you know, street credibility that you are in with the in crowd. But is that all that we want? Because that's very important, especially as you get a little bit older. That becomes quite important to a lot of your friends, maybe. But if that's all that we want, then that I would suggest is not very, very challenging. It's not really very challenging at all. We're going along with the crowd. And what we want to do tonight is, have you got the courage to dare to be different in a much bigger way as you grow up, as you get a bit older? And that challenge is the challenge that the Bible gives to us, because the Bible is extremely special. The Bible gives us something that a lot of people miss out on completely. Especially you'll find your friends at school, I would think the vast majority don't know anything much about the Bible. And the challenge is that if we want to look at these things, we are going to stand out and be different. Not in the way that we look, not with a fancy haircut, not with the fancy clothes, but the way that we live our lives, the way that we manage our lives. The Bible is more than this life. The Bible is to quote a very famous advert, the Bible is in fact much more than this life now. What we tend to do when we're little, and I was little once, well, I wasn't little, but I was young. When I was young, the things that worry you were the things about school and the things about growing up and your how your mum and dad are getting on, you know, and whether you're being good at school and how you're getting on at school. But that tends to take over quite a lot of people's lives. And that's the only thing that they worry about. The Bible is much, much more than just these things now. The Bible dares us to be different because it's talking about unseen things. Not the things that we see and experience now, although it does talk about those things, and we shall look at how that is the challenge for us in our lives now. But it also talks about something that's much, much bigger. It talks about unseen things. Does anybody know what that might be? Yeah? Forest? Could be. Yeah? Snow. Yeah. It looks like snow, doesn't it? It looks like snow, but it isn't actually. That's a picture that was taken in the middle of the night. It was taken by a special camera that sees heat. It doesn't see light. Now, if you were looking at that was in a park, and you're looking at that park in the middle of the night, you wouldn't see a thing with our eyes. But with that special camera, it takes a picture in the dark, and it can see things in the dark. And that's really what the Bible is a bit like. The Bible helps us to see things that other people can't see. It helps us to see things that God wants us to see. Now, we can't see God, can we? No, we can't see God, but he's told us in his word what he wants us to look for. And what he wants us to look for are things that are just more than this life now, more than the experiences that life offers to us now. And that's a big challenge. And we have to try and understand that. Because the Bible is about things that go on forever. How old are you?
Seven.
How old are you? I won't ask Uncle John how old he is, but he's quite old, isn't he? Now, who's the oldest? No, we're going to go down that way. But from seven to getting quite old, we have a life that's about 70, 80, 90. Some people live to 100 years old, and then we die. But the Bible is about things that go on forever. A lot longer than that. Okay? Forever is for eternity. And it's difficult to get our heads around that, because the Bible is talking not just about here and now, about how our hairstyle is, what clothes we wear, and it's talking about eternal things, things that go on forever. It's talking about how we can live forever. And that's a secret that a lot of people don't know, because they don't read the Bible. And that's why it's important for us to know what's in the Bible. And if we want to imagine what eternal things are like, we can start to begin to look at the stars. I don't know, has anybody got a telescope? Or you ever got a telescope? Have you ever had a look at the stars occasionally? Yeah? Yeah? Sorry?
It's broken.
It's broken, okay. Has anybody, but before it broke, did you ever look at the stars with it? Or the moon, yeah. Or from binoculars, if you've got some binoculars. It's amazing if you look at these things, because they're things that are so far away, it's unimaginable. And yet God, we're told, made the stars. Now, your friends at school won't believe that. Your friends at school won't believe that God made the stars and the great distance that is involved and the vast time that's involved with the stars. But God made them. It says so in Genesis chapter 1. And if we believe that and know that, we're way above our friends at school because they think it all just happened. They think it just happened by chance. And that's just utterly ridiculous, really, when you think about it. When you look at the design of the stars, when you look at the way the things have been made, God made these things, and his eternal purpose is there. And we only know about that because we've got Bibles, because we can read what God wants us to know about that. And we have an advantage over people who don't know these things. So the challenge is to be different because God asks us to be. God says to us, I want you to look at my word and try and live according to how I want you to live. And then you can have a hope of these eternal things, right? And not just living for now, but living forever. The Bible shows us how to be different. And it's not just about this life now. That's the thing that people you come across at school. And as you get older, perhaps go to college, you'll find that they're living about now. They want to do everything for now, instead of thinking about what God wants now and in the future. Eternal life, to live forever in the future. Now, when you're 7, and how old are you? 6. When you're 7 and 6, eternal life seems a bit of a strange idea because you think your life's going to go on forever. But when you get older, you begin to wonder. No, perhaps not. Perhaps a bit older than you. And we see that life doesn't go on forever. What happens to people when they get very old, or sometimes they have an accident or something? What happens to people? Yeah? They become ill. Yeah, they can become ill. And what happens then? If they not get better? Yeah?
They die.
That's not a very nice thing to think about, but dying is what happens to everybody. Everybody in this room, if the Lord Jesus remains away, in 120 years, will all be dead. That's a bit sad thought, isn't it? But the thing is about the Bible, if we can learn about God's word and we can accept the challenge of what God says, we can have a hope of not dying but living forever. When Jesus comes back, we can be raised from the dead even if we have died. So that's the wonder of the Bible, and that's the challenge. But also, we've got to think about what we're going to do. How are we going to understand about this? How should we be trying to live? What should we be trying to do? That's a big question, isn't it? It's a difficult thing to think about. But the Bible shows us if we're prepared to have a look at it. And that's what I want to do just for a few more minutes now, is to look at how we can live our lives so that we can have a hope of living forever. Okay? It gives us examples of how we are to live. And one of those examples is a man called Daniel. Now, you are very good here. I've been told that the Sunday school classes here are excellent. So you know all about Daniel, so you'll be able to tell me all about Daniel. All right? Have you heard about Daniel? Yeah. Oh, phew, thank goodness for that. Okay. Right then. Let's have a little think about Daniel. So Daniel lived in Jerusalem. Where's Jerusalem? Yeah?
In Israel.
In Israel. Is it a special city at all? Or?
Yeah.
Yeah? Yeah? Why is it a special city? Yeah? The capital city. Okay, yes, it's the main city. It's where the kings dwelt. It's the city where all the kings lived. And we're talking about 600 years before the birth of Jesus. How many years ago was it that Jesus was alive? Or roughly? Do we know? How many years ago was Jesus alive? Yeah?
2,000 years.
About 2,000 years. Yeah? About 2,000 years ago. Okay? And this is 600 years before that. So how many years ago is that? 2,600, yeah, you're going to say that? Yeah, you'll get maths A level, no problem. Okay, 2,600 years ago, that's a long time ago. Now this is interesting because the Bible is telling us about things that happened 2,600 years ago. Now you're 6, aren't you? 2,600 years ago is a big long time ago, isn't it? It's before anybody in this room was born. It was a long, long, long time ago. And yet it is relevant. It's important to us to know how this man Daniel behaved. Because Daniel was somebody who believed in God. Daniel was a man that believed in God. And he would have known Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah. Those are the names that we came across there. Who were these people? Hananiah, Mishael and Azariah. They had their names changed, didn't they? Yeah. They all serve God. Good answer. Who were they, though? Do we know who they were? Yeah?
Were they Daniel's friends?
Exactly right. They were Daniel's friends. And they all served God. It was like the Sunday school, really, in Jerusalem 2,600 years ago. You might find that Ezekiel and Jeremiah may have been their Sunday school teachers. Well, that's a bit fanciful. But they would have known of those prophets. They would have known of them. And he got friends. And they all served God. They knew about God. They read their Bibles. They had the Old Testament part of the scriptures to read. And they knew about those. And they had a big advantage over other people because they knew and they trusted in God. Right. That's the first lesson. That's the first thing we need if we are going to dare to be different. It's very difficult being different on your own. If you've got friends who are wanting to serve God, if you've got friends at Sunday school and at CYC, that's really important because those are the friends that can last you a lifetime. I've got a friend who was my friend at Sunday school when I was 3. And that was a long time ago, I can tell you. And he's still my friend now. And he's been baptised and he's got the same hope as I have that we can believe in these things in the Bible. So friends are very important. And you're lucky here because you've got an awful lot of youngsters. I think there's even more than this sometimes, isn't there? Yeah? They obviously heard I was speaking, so they didn't bother coming. But that you've got a lot of friends, and that's very, very important, that you have friends who are going the same way as you are. Also, we read in Daniel chapter 1, in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, into Jerusalem and besieged it. Okay, who's Nebuchadnezzar? Yeah? That was a difficult one, wasn't it? It's there on the screen. Yeah, okay. He was the king of Babylon. Okay. Why did he come against Jerusalem, do you know? Why did he come against Jerusalem and besiege it? He camped all round it. His army was there against Jerusalem. Why, yeah?
Because the Israelites disobeyed God.
Exactly right. The Israelites disobeyed God. The Israelites turned their back on God. They didn't want to know about God. And that's a danger. If we accept the things of God, if we want to be in the things of God, if we turn our back on him, then God is not best pleased. And he wasn't pleased with these people. Nebuchadnezzar comes and he besieges it. Do you know what a besieging is? If you besiege a city. Yeah? Yeah. Yeah. If you take the B off the front, it's a siege. They siege it and they stop anybody going in or out, and the army camps around the outside, and they come and eventually they'll break down the walls of the city and they will get into the city and destroy it, okay? And they starve the people out, and it's not very nice, a terrible thing. And this is what happened in Daniel's lifetime. Now, Daniel wasn't much older than you. Is anybody about 14 here? Yeah? About 14, 15, 16. That's possibly how old Daniel was. Quite a young lad. And his city was besieged. The city was besieged and eventually it was taken and destroyed a bit after Daniel's time. Now, can you imagine that your house, your city was besieged and a foreign army came and destroyed your town? Now, that would be terrible, really, wouldn't it? But Daniel had this experience 2,600 years ago. Daniel chapter 1 verse 2, and the Lord gave Jehoiakim king of Judah into his hand with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar to the house of his God, and he brought his vessels into the treasure house of his God. So King Nebuchadnezzar took away the treasures of the house of God. He took away the place that the things that they were worshipping God with in Jerusalem, and he carried them to Babylon, and that's a representation of a gate called the Ishtar Gate, which is a big gate in Babylon. And they took all the treasures into Babylon. That they'd had everything taken away. They had everything taken and the city was eventually destroyed. But when he comes into Babylon, he and his friends... Do you remember who his friends, three friends were? Yeah? Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego, they weren't that when they came out. Have a look at your Bibles. Open your Bibles at chapter 1 of Daniel... We've mentioned their names before, yeah?
Hananiah.
Yeah, Hananiah was one of them, yeah? Mishael. Yeah? Azariah. Yes, it's there in verse 5, isn't it? Now, among these were the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. They were probably of the royal household. They were probably princes, or at least nobles, or descended from nobles. So they're quite important people. Okay? But when they came to Babylon, Babylon wanted to do things to Daniel and his friends. We've read about it in these verses here. Chapter 1 and verse 3. And the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel, the king's seed and the princes, children whom was no blemish and well favoured, so they were good looking like me, okay? Well, not like me, they're probably better looking than me. And well favoured and skillful in all wisdom and cunning in knowledge, understanding science. Does anybody here like science? Do you like science? Yeah, it's quite interesting science, isn't it? Okay. These were people who understood science and had ability in the king's palace, whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. Okay, so that's what they wanted to do. That's what we've just read there. That they wanted those people to teach them. They took all the clever clogs, okay, the ones who were really bright and intelligent and good looking, and they wanted to teach them what it says there. They might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. Now, the Chaldeans were the race of the Babylonians, the race that they belonged to. And their nation, the Babylonians, had a different way of thinking to those who were Jews. And this is really one of the second lesson I want us to think about. Because Babylon was different completely from the ways in which these Jewish boys wanted to live or should have lived. They represent what the whole of human beings want to teach you. The world wants to teach us of how it wants us to behave. And this is represented by Babylon. And it wants to teach them too. It wanted to teach its learning and its attitudes. And when we look at science, you liked science, didn't you? Sometimes the science that we learn in school is not in line with what God says. Okay? What the Bible says. Especially on things like evolution. That's important. And the world wants to teach us those attitudes. It wants to give us its clever knowledge. And yet our first port of call really should be to God's word. And to learn about God's word. Because all this is for the life now. They wanted to improve their lives then. And they weren't thinking about the things of God that were coming in the future. They weren't thinking about God's eternal way. So the world wants to teach us those things. It's something we need to be aware of as we're growing up. And also the tongue of the Chaldeans. Their language was totally different. And I think we can take another lesson really out of this. Because when you are at school, when you are in the playground, sometimes the language that people use, it's not the best language, is it? You sometimes come across some horrible language. And the Bible says to us that that's not the way in which we should live. It's not the way in which we should speak. Can you turn in your Bibles, if you will, to Matthew chapter 15? Because here are some words from the Lord Jesus Christ himself. In Matthew chapter 15 and verse 18. What Jesus is saying to us here is quite an important lesson. If you can find Matthew chapter 15, he's saying to us that it's very important what comes out of our mouth. It's very important what we actually say. Because in Matthew chapter 15 and verse 18, Jesus says these words, "But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man." They make the man unclean. What it's saying here to us is that the things that come out of our mouth, the language that comes out of our mouth, comes out from our heart. It's our way of thinking. So if we're using horrible language, if we're using disgusting language, that's the sort of person that we are or we're going to become. Whereas if we think about what we say and think about the language that we use, and try not to listen to the horrible language that some people use, then it means that our hearts are beginning to become right before God. And that's very important. We're talking a bit about that this morning. It's the heart that is important. It's what comes out of our hearts. And that's what comes out of our mouths. So if we can't control what comes out of our mouths, we can't control ourselves. And that's one of the first important things, that we have to be able to control ourselves. And then we read in verse 5 here, it's back in Daniel, it's Daniel chapter 1. The king appointed them a provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank. So there was plenty of wine and drink for them to have. Now, while you're little, this isn't quite such an important problem. While you're young, food and drink is provided by your mum and dad, and I'm sure it's all very healthy, and it's all very nice. But as you get older, there are people who will say that there is a great benefit in drinking alcohol, drinking beer and wine and things, and into excess. And it says here, take heed to yourselves, lest at any time, this is the Lord Jesus speaking again, your hearts be overcharged, that's being filled up with surfeiting and drunkenness. Now, surfeiting is eating too much. It's being greedy and eating and eating and eating for the sake of it. Now, when you're growing up, you eat a lot. I know. Okay, I remember. But when you stop growing up, if you carry on eating, you get fatter and fatter and bigger and bigger. And that's taking... this becomes an end in itself, to eat more and more. And also to drink. Drunkenness is drinking too much alcohol. And again, the problem is, have you ever heard of someone getting drunk? Yeah? What happens when somebody gets drunk? Yeah?
If they go driving, they might crash.
They might. Do you know why? Why might they crash? What does the drink do, yeah? They can't control it. The alcohol, yeah, it's the alcohol. It affects your brain, okay? It makes your brain slow to react, and you can't control yourself. And eventually, if people drink too much, they go along and they fall over. Yeah, they can't control themselves at all. Now, if we're trying to serve God, if we want to do what God wants to do, if we're thinking about the eternal things, yeah, we're not thinking about now, then that's something that we'll avoid, okay? Because that's very important, that we have control of ourselves. Because if we get out of control, anything might happen. We might do what Israel had done. They went right out of the way, didn't they? That's why Jerusalem was destroyed, because they went right away from God. They were out of control. It wasn't because they were just drunk, but they just decided that that's the way they wanted to go. But we have to be careful about that as well, especially as you get older. And they nourished for 3 years. Now, it's interesting that I put this out for... are any of you university students? Not quite. Okay, university students have 3 years generally, sometimes it's 4 years, but 3 years of studying. And one of the big dangers is that they might go away and study, and all these things about surfeiting, about eating too much and drinking too much, that really is the sort of way of life of a lot of students, a lot of people in the world. And again, it's something we need to think about when we get perhaps a bit older. Now, that was interesting, wasn't it? We got the names of Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego, but they also had names before. They had Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael and Azariah. Now, this is just a little bit interesting in the words. It might be quite interesting. Why did they change their names? The prince of the eunuch gave them names. Here there's Babylon. Here is the things of the world giving them a different name. Yeah? Well, names are very important. That is an excellent thing. And it's important because the names mean something. That's really good. Daniel means God is my judge. Hananiah means Yahweh, that's the name of God, has favoured. Okay. Who is like God is what Mishael means. And Azariah is Yahweh has helped. Those are all about the God of Israel. And what it means, in their name, if they knew what their name was, they could think about God, because their very name taught them about God. Do you know what your name means? Does anybody know what their name means? Yeah? Sorry? Dove. Yeah? See, sometimes your mum and dad pick up with give you a name that's got a meaning, and it's important, yeah? Joined, okay? Joined with what? Now, there's a thing. You can be joined to the things of God. That's a good name to have, isn't it? Yeah?
Increase.
There we are, you see. We can have an increase in good things, can't we? Increase in the things of God, perhaps. Increase in wisdom, all sorts of things, yes?
Strength of Yahweh.
Strength of Yahweh. Wow. Now, you could have been with Daniel and his mates, because that's a brilliant name, isn't it? The strength of Yahweh, the strength of God. Now, isn't that wonderful? Those names are like that. And that's the names they were given. But Babylon wanted to give them a different name. The world, which is what Babylon represents, the way of men thinking, the way that men want you to behave, they give them some different names. Now, I don't know whether this is going to work right, but we've got Belteshazzar. Bel, protect the king, it means. Shadrach, command of Aku. Strange name, isn't it? Meshach means who is like Aku. And Abednego is a servant of Nebo. Now, Bel, Aku, and Nebo were all Babylonian gods. And so the name they gave them was the name of these worshipping of these other gods. And that's what the world wants to do to us. It says it wants to take us away from the things of God, from the strength of God, from increase in the things of God. Okay? And this, I think, is another lesson for us. Don't be followers of the gods of this world. Now, the gods of this world are the things that people think are important and put in place of the true God. Okay? Now, the gods of this world are things that we spend all our time and perhaps all our money and all our effort in running after instead of going after the things of God. What might we spend all our time and our money on, yeah? Xbox. True. Xbox for you older people is a games thing. It's a games and console, okay? It's computerised. Yeah? Clothes, yeah. People spend an awful lot on clothes and their image, like we started off with. Yeah, good lad. Xbox, yeah. Sports cars, yeah. Computers, yeah. Facebook, keep off that. It's an absolute waste of time, yeah.
DS's.
A what?
DS.
A DS. Is that like a Game Boy sort of thing, is it? Yeah, yeah, okay, that's alright, yeah. I'm learning here, you see. There's all sorts of things that we could spend all our time. And these are things that take us away from the things of God. They don't help us to learn about the things of God and to read the Bible. To do our daily readings. Well, I can't do the daily readings. I've got to watch the television. I've got to go and watch Doctor Who. I like Doctor Who. It's a big danger, that is, for me. I have to watch Doctor Who. Watch that I don't watch Doctor Who too much. Because it's those sorts of things that would say, well, you know, I don't want to read God's word, yeah?
Addictive.
They're addictive. What a good word that is. What's that mean? You can't stop doing it. That's right. It becomes something that you can't stop doing. The best thing to get addicted to, you know what the best thing to get addicted to is? Yeah? Oh, you knew where I was coming from, didn't you? Yeah. Good lad. Yes, the Bible. We kind of get addicted to this. It's absolutely fascinating to challenge ourselves to read the Bible. And to look at it and to talk about it with our mums and dads and our friends. Saying that this is something that a lot of other people haven't got. That's the challenge of this. That we can be followers of the Word of God, the Bible. 2 Peter. Yeah, 2 Peter chapter 3. We're very nearly at the end. So we can sing another hymn at the end in a minute, okay? We'll just go to 2 Peter, the second letter of Peter, right towards the end of the New Testament, chapter 3. Here we can see what we've been saying there from God's word. What Peter is saying is that if we are addicted to the things like the Xbox and the television and all the things that we do, it's not wrong to do those things, it's whether we get addicted to them, whether we can't put them down. And whether we put them out of our lives altogether is up to us to decide. But that's not the thing that should be really important in our life. The reason being here is in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 11, he says, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved. In other words, these things are going to be done away with. When the Lord Jesus Christ returns and sets up the kingdom of God, there won't be Xboxes in the kingdom, there won't be DSs, there won't be televisions and computers. We'll be trying to serve the living God. OK? Okay? And so if we've been spending all our time doing those things, we aren't going to know about God. We're not going to know about what God wants us to do in our lives. He said, they're all going to be done away with. What manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? In other words, you ought to be living your life in a right way according to the Bible. That's the challenge. That's the dare. Dare you be different enough to do that? And what he talks about are those people that don't do that here in 2 Corinthians. The God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. If you get all involved with those sorts of things, you won't be able to see the truth about the kingdoms of God. The light of the glorious gospel of Christ. The teaching of the Lord Jesus. Okay? That light that would shine in our lives. It won't be there if we let the God of this world, the things of this world, blind us. And what you will find is that sadly, a lot of your friends at school won't be able to understand the Bible. The reason being that they're so involved with these things already. You've got a great advantage that you come to Sunday school, you come to CYC, and you learn about God's word. And that's opening your eyes so that you can see things that most of the people at your school probably can't see. I think that's quite an amazing thing, isn't it? Well, Daniel and his friends coped with this in a way. We haven't got time to go and have a look at this now, but what Daniel did was put his trust in God. And whenever we have a problem, that's what we have to do. Put our trust in God. Daniel and his friends, when they were faced with this, they chose to live the way God wanted them to live. And that's always a good thing. How did they know about it? They knew about this. They knew what God wanted from them, from his word. So we've seen there that Daniel and his friends obeyed God. And finally, there's this we find in Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Be not conformed to this world. Okay? To the world we live in now, it wants to smash us into a mould. That's what it wants to do. That's what that word conform means. It means smashed and squeezed into its mould so that everybody is the same. They all have silly hairdos or they all wear fancy clothes and that's the thing that they want to do. He says, don't be squeezed into the world now. What he says is, be transformed, be changed by the way that you think, the way your mind works. And that you might prove what is that good, acceptable and perfect will of God. That we get this Bible into our heads. The Word of God, that we start to learn now and know about the Word of God. And that's how we can be different. But it takes a lot of effort. These are things that are life eternal, that we might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, who thou hast sent. It's knowing about the Lord Jesus Christ. It's knowing about this Bible and getting it into our heads. We might understand it. The question is, dare you be different? That's the challenge. That you think about the Word of God and that you be different from perhaps all the other people that you might know at school and other places. That you can be different and that you can have a hope in God's Word. That's where you put your trust. Thanks for listening and not going to sleep. You did wonderfully.